Is there always a rational explanation for the paranormal? Should one believe reports of unexplained phenomena? Unknown 9 Awakening is the action-adventure video game at the heart of the Unknown 9 narrative universe. You play as Haruna, an audacious heroine with the ability to venture into the fold, a mysterious dimension that overlaps our own. On her quest for powerful hidden knowledge, Haruna, who is portrayed by Anya Chalotra, will learn to master her unique connection to the fold, which allows her to channel its powers into our world. But such power does not go unnoticed. She quickly becomes the target of the Ascendants, a splinter faction of a secret society known as the Leap Year Society, who want to use the fold to alter the course of human history. Their confrontation will take them across the world, from the sands of Mauritania and perilous Indian jungles to the gothic landscapes of Portugal.
Get ready to dive into a mysterious parallel dimension. Unknown 9 Awakening releases on October 18th, 2024 for PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and S, and PC. Pre-order your copy today and learn more about the Unknown 9 universe at unknown9.com/alien.
To Alien Theorist Theorizing, Case File 3333. And it's only fitting that we do Zell's favorite episode of the year, the Urban Legends 3, as we kick off Spooktober.
Didn't even suggest it this year.
Yeah, we all knew what you were thinking, though. You were like, oh, Spooktober.
We all have this marked on our schedule.
First? Finally, and then we're like, oh, why don't we do this cool ghost story? You're like, no, not that. Why don't we do this cool alien horse? No, not that. You went around the horn and we're like, urban legends? Oh, guess so. Yeah.
Everybody knows megalithic structures and urban legends. Urban legends. Mm-hmm. Fucking Zell's wheelhouse.
That's the best Zell's episode we've ever done.
I agree.
Yeah. You know, Spooktober, we always like to keep things spooky all
Spooktober long.
Even though it's not even Spooktober yet, is it?
Almost. Yeah, no.
Spooktober tomorrow.
Yeah. No.
It's tomorrow's October?
Yeah. We're doing the old quick turnaround on this one.
No. Okay. Yeah.
This one will get released basically.
Braden had to postpone the recording because he got bit by a cat.
Guy got his ass kicked by a cat.
Oh, man. Boys, you don't even know. So, first off.
No, I don't know.
You guys seen Ace Ventura when he gets fucking, you remember that scene where he gets blow darted and he's just shaking his arms and both arms are just limp? He's like, ah! That was basically me. So what happened is I had some friends come for the weekend and we had a bunch of horrible plans. We're going to sing karaoke at this shitty Eagles place. We're going to rent scooters, go to Quadra Island. Tons of things that I should get hurt on.
Sure.
I had a minor surgery a couple weeks ago and they pulled out the stitches Friday afternoon and I get home and I lift up Roman and I go, ooh, that feels like it felt like, I'm like, ooh, you know what? That hurts a little. Then as I was blowing up the air mattress, I reached this arm out to just plug the hole. The whole cut just popped open. Just leaking blood. Just as my buddies show up, and I'm like, "Well, I'm not going to the emergency room."
Super glue.
Super glue. So super glued it shut. Put through a couple bandages on it. Went to the Eagles. Actually, I used to sing karaoke at the Legion Mitra. Good time. The Eagles Hall. Mm. We went in there. 10 people in there. First off, so you know it's a good time. Yeah, 10 people, and we sit down at the table. I haven't seen these guys since my time up north. We're kind of having a laugh, having some cheap beers. And like the first thing, some like old woman, she's probably like 70, walks up. She's like, "You boys here just to fucking laugh at us? Is that what you're here for? You're just laughing at us, huh? Is that what you want to do? Fucking laugh at us? That's why you come here?"
And we're like, no, like so taken aback. We're like, oh, no, no, we are not. Like, laugh. We're here to sing karaoke. She goes, then fucking sing.
So now she like pulls out a gun.
And I should mention, we took a boatload of edibles before we went there. So, and they've set in. So now you're sitting there with your beer and you're like, you can just feel the tension in the room. So
you're
we're sitting there. We're like, okay.
Yeah, we're like, that karaoke. That freaking, the Mean Girls came and stopped by your table.
We put in our songs. Then another woman comes up and is like, what the fuck are you guys doing here? Why are you here? And we're like, to sing karaoke. So then we're like waiting for our songs to come up. And this guy comes, spins his chair around, obviously inebriated. He goes, level with me here, boys. Why the fuck are you here? And he's like sitting at a table. So then I'm like, we're like, you know, we used to go to the Legion in Fort St. John. It's just down the road. We thought we'd come here. He goes, my name's Tim. I'm the vice president of the Eagles. You boys look like you could be Eagle members. We're trying to get a younger crowd in here. Could you help us? And I was like, maybe don't. And like, we're so high. And this guy's just like slurring his words. We're all trying not to look at each other in the face because we're like about to burst out laughing. And we're like, what is the Eagles? And he's just like, people helping people, you know, people helping people, just people helping people. And like, okay, I don't know what this fucking place is.
I mean, the place doesn't seem very welcoming, if I'm going to be
honest. No,
who are you helping?
All right, yeah, they didn't say they weren't helping you. Like, no.
They had a long, so we shut that bar down at 9 o'clock. Everyone left. So the bartender was like, hey, we're going to close because no one's here. And the bartender's like, we're like, yeah, it's kind of a little hostile here. He's like, yeah, they were really racist to me for like the first month they were here. They wouldn't talk to me and they were really mean. And we're like, holy, people helping people.
People helping people. Yeah, people helping people.
It was, and the karaoke was the worst karaoke I've ever seen. I go up to sing my first song and I sang Sweet Caroline, song I know. And the lyrics are a full second behind the music.
Oh, nice. Oh.
So I'm like, oh, you can't read the lyrics at all.
You sure you weren't just really high?
Maybe. My second song was a joke song. I was going to sing Don't You Want Me, Baby. Sure. And first off, I was so high, I wrote on the form, don't me want baby. And the girl's like, we don't have don't me want baby. And I'm like, what? And I go look and I was like, no, don't you want me baby? She shows me the form, it just says, don't me want baby. And I'm like, so high.
Yeah, yeah, you were high.
This guy, the vice president, the vice president was talking to my friends nonstop. So I'm up there singing a joke song because all I sang the entire thing is I went, she was working as a waitress in a cocktail bar, a cocktail bar. And then like through the chorus, that's the only lyric I sing through the whole song. So even the chorus, I go,
you're disrespecting the Eagle's Nest?
She was working. She was working as a waitress. I guess those ladies were
right here in there.
Yeah, you're disrespecting the Eagle's Nest, man.
Working what do you think you're doing? As a waitress in a cocktail bar.
Yeah, I've seen that YouTube video.
A girl fucking booed.
Yeah.
As it should.
Yeah. Yeah, you deserve it.
You're making a mockery of the Eagle's Nest. Yeah.
Those people had you right. They fucking tagged you.
And then so the next morning I wake up in the morning, my fucking cat, as I go sit on the couch, my cat just jumps up, just mauls me, just like straight up. I was attacked, like cat attack. I had to pull it off me. It scratched my hand.
Oh my god. Scratch
all down
hand?
My arm. Scratched my hand.
Did you have to wear a couple band-aids? Like, what are we talking here?
Tons of band-aids. I looked like John Cena. Jesus. I had band-aids on every finger. And went scooting for the day. End of the day, I could tell. Dude, there was just red from like down to my elbow, like up to my shoulder. And I was like, fuck, I should get some antibiotics. I should get on top of this right now. So I had to go back. I was in emergency two of 3 days while they were here. It's brutal.
You had to go to emergency to get antibiotics for the cat bite?
Yeah, because it was Sunday. So no doctor's office open. So I was just like, it was actually super quiet. So it wasn't bad. But this ties right into my first urban legend.
Perfect.
And that's the
cat scratch fever.
Yeah, cat scratch fever. This is the, you know, the haunted Harriet Bay Inn.
Heard of this.
Zell's been there.
Yeah.
I think Zell's, you've had a beer there. So we rented scooters. I've always heard about this place. I think I've been there once before I knew it was haunted. So we went out there for lunch, had a couple soups and Earl Grey teas. You know, talk to some of the bartenders and stuff about the haunting. Yeah, it was cold.
So is that because you're on antibiotics or what's going on?
Yeah, well, one, it was antibiotics. Two,
were they different?
Really,
were they
it was
different
really cool.
soups or are they just like one soup?
Well, no, it was so cold in torrential downpour when we rented scooters.
Were you guys wearing cardigans too?
No, we couldn't. No? So we're just we're soaking wet, dude. Okay. You're like the wettest you could be. If imagine you were like, we're renting scooters and we're going rain or shine. And then you went in the worst possible weather you could possibly be scooting in. That was us. And so we get there, we're like frozen, dude. I was wearing for gloves because it was so cold. I was wearing like those.
Did you guys cuddle to warm up
rubber.
While you drank your Earl Grey teas?
Yeah, we did. We sat in the corner. Yeah,
huddled up together.
Scoots and soups. That's what we did.
Okay.
And so, you know, it was cool because I kind of got to talk to the waiters and stuff. And I was like, hey, I hear this is haunted. And they're like, yeah, you know, you'll hear like weird footsteps above the bar and like.
It's really racist ghosts.
Yeah, really racist ghosts and stuff. So this hotel has been around since like the 1800s. And, you know, its first rendition of it burned down in like 1905 through mysterious means. No one's really know. The whole hotel burned down, and you know it was a it's literally the only thing to do on this little island. So I imagine even back then they were like, fuck, now there's no, we got nothing.
So it's got to be a haunted foundation then if the place burned down,
maybe,
right?
Yeah. Well, the thing is it's the where it is on Quadra Island, it's in a protected bay. So a lot of people kind of theorize that this is maybe where was like First Nations set up, like old First Nations encampments. And, you know, there was rumor of unmarked graves in the area before the hotel was built. So the hotel burns down in like 1905. They rebuild it in 1910 to like.
Well, I heard that this hotel burnt down, but not only that, that someone had barred the entry from the outside so no one could escape. And at least
that,
let's go with that.
400 people lost their lives.
Let's go with that.
Well, if you've ever seen this hotel, there's only like 8 rooms. It looks like, you know, you could.
It really stuffed them in.
Yeah.
It was a busy time.
It's high
season. But 1905, they rebuild it and it lasts. And there was some like, there's some good stories. One of the waiters that told me about it is like, there was like a hotel guest murdered and left for dead in the, like thrown in the back of the hotel. There was a great story about these two basically like rival like forestry workers who like came in and were like, we're going to have a duel. We're going to shoot each other. Like, I'm going to shoot you. And
I'm the best forestry.
Yeah.
No, I'm the best forestry.
Yeah, basically. So the bartenders like were like, hey, you know what? Let's just get these fucking guys wasted. So they got these guys blackout drunk. They tied them together and like, tape their faces together.
Oh, like, you guys, like, we're not letting you go until you guys get along.
Yeah, which is hilarious.
This is our so together guys, shirt.
Like, these guys wake up and are now stuck, form a friendship, and they're like, we're going to kill every motherfucker in that bar. Every motherfucker's dead. So the town people and a couple of the locals
they
kind of
over
catch wind that, hey, these two guys are, they've somehow got loose and they've become friends. And now they're going to, you know, they're seeking revenge. These two guys mysteriously go missing and are never seen of again. And some people say that a couple of the locals who worked at the Harriet Bay took care of them, right?
Took them to the train station?
Listen, there's a lot of ocean there. You just, like, people are gone.
Slipped.
Now,
think about how easy it would be back then. They're gone.
Yeah.
Weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, took off, went to the next.
A lot of water out there. Windy yesterday. Yeah.
Now, in 1910, the hotel burns down completely once again.
Again, barred from the
again.
Outside.
Once again. Again, barred
with
from the outside.
400 people in it.
All 8
600
rooms.
600
occupants in the room, you know, passed away. 1912, it's re-erected again. And it's now, that's how it stands to this day, the same hotel. Now, there is a couple ghostly apparitions that are pretty locally famously seen in this. One is the knitting lady. Well, first, the knitting lady. She's the most seen ghost. People see her through the window. You only ever see her through the window of the entrance, sitting in the corner. It looks like she's just knitting, minding her own business. And then you go through and she's gone. Or there's been accounts of people seeing her in the upstairs window above the bar in room 14, which you can rent and stay in, and people fucking...
Whoa, what do you mean?
There's room tons 14? Of accounts. Room 14.
I thought there was only 8 rooms.
Well, and when they listen, 1911, they're like, hey, you know what?
Even numbers.
Yeah, they're like, cut these rooms in half. We need to up the business. So they, people see her in the window, and they've sometimes, people have reported, seen her screaming out the window as if she's going to jump out the window. It's not that hard. Like, you're not killing yourself jumping out of this window.
Break an ankle.
You break a leg.
Yeah, you're going
to break a neck probably.
Yeah.
Sprain your ankle.
It's going to be an issue because you're on a remote island. Like, it's going to be a little bit of a to do, but like, listen, you're going to be fine. But people have like run into the lobby, like, there's a woman's going to jump out the window. And the hotel's like, there's no one here. And they go back outside and there's no one. And they're like, don't worry. It's the knitting ghost. The second person is a lumberjack. And this lumberjack is probably more witness. He kind of roams room to room. He closes doors, opens doors, slams doors, flips suitcase, like dump suitcases off the bed. He's been seen.
He hates laundry.
Hates laundry, hates clothes. He's always has hated clothes.
Stealing people's flannel shirts.
They know that the bar keeps, and this is a cool one, they still have the bottle there. At one point, they think the ghost's favorite drink is amaretto because a couple of bottles, gross. The front of the amaretto, just the front square, there's like a raised square on the bottle of amaretto. That front square has popped off and just all the alcohol's gone out and they have no idea. So they have a couple of these like popped bottles. And so now what they say they do is customary to take a shot of amaretto to like appease the ghost.
Appease the ghost.
I'm like listen, that. I'm not buying your shot.
It's like rubbing it in his face.
Yeah.
Being like, I'm
more angry.
Yeah, that's why you're getting paranormally activated.
Yeah.
Drinking his favorite drink.
But like, this ghost, a couple of times, has even been, the lumberjack ghost, has been attributed to a couple missing people, right?
Shit.
A couple of people have reported to this ghost that have gone to the hotel and said, hey, you know, we can't even sleep. This something's in the room. Something's banging the bathroom door. Have left the hotel and checked out and have never been seen from again. And basically, the local legend is that this ghost, you know, deems that these people he doesn't like, and you may check out, but you may never leave.
You may check in.
You may check in, but you may never leave.
Or you might check out.
Well, no, you can check out, but you can never leave.
They check out. Yeah. They check out, and then they don't leave because no one sees them again. So there's two mysterious disappearances attributed.
But they were still able to check out.
They're never seen from again.
What is this fucking out. Hotel California? I don't
know. It's Hotel Harriet Bay Inn.
New song coming up, I hear.
But bodies never recovered. People just missing. The last place they've stayed is the Harriet Bay
Inn. Yeah, bring back the Eagle's Nest here.
Yeah. So that's my urban legend. It's just this local haunted hotel that
I'm getting some breaking news right now that the hotel is actually burned down once again and again on the outside.
This time with 800 people inside.
Yeah. In the last 15 minutes, I believe.
Yeah. Honestly, it's such a cool little bar. It's such a cool little bar in there that I was trying to talk Zell into being like, yo, you guys should do an island swing.
It is a cool bar.
You should play an island swing show there.
I mean, we play to know people all the time. Might as well just play to know people out in the island. Why not?
I think they packed the house. I've heard it gets packed for like the Quadra Sound. Wonder if you could get it. Plays there.
I heard Braden's gotten in at the Eagle's Nest.
Yeah, listen.
Play there.
He's gonna be a member.
You want to help some people, Zell? You and Lucky Monkey want to help some people.
I can put people. People helping people. I like that. I like that
people
place.
People helping people.
That is a cool hotel, though. I did stop in
people
there for a year.
Helping people. You can make a song for them. It's perfect.
I want to stay there now. Like, now that I've seen it and stay there. Because it did have, like, the air of creepiness. Like, where you're just, the air was kind of like, you're like, ooh. And it was a foggy day and a little rainy. It was creepy. But the cool kind of creepy. I want to stay there one time. One day I'm going to stay in room 14 and mess with these ghosts. We'll see. But that's my local urban legend. Just
popping bottles of Amaretto. Area.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'll bring some bottles.
Bring in extra laundry. Just throw it all over the bed.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. Local legend.
That's my urban legend. And it's real. You can go to it.
Look at that place. Is real.
Hashtag look it up.
Yes.
No, everything about well, ghost, is real.
There's a couple of ghost hunters that go there. I have never heard of any of them.
You don't say.
But there's like a couple of people have been like, it's great because they go there and they're like, we've been granted unrestricted access to the Harriet Bay Inn.
To all six rooms.
Right? And they're like, and then it's so funny because I was like watching this video and I'm like, yeah, the bartender said I could walk around and take a look. He didn't care. Like I could have, had I wanted to, gone up. And they were like, hey, go up. Go look at whatever you want to do.
Unrestricted access.
I was like, yeah, so did I. I didn't have to do anything. I was soaking wet.
I just turned up. I didn't even have to book it.
I just showed them my Eagles membership card. Yeah. And they were like, people helping people. Whatever you need.
Oh, yeah, he must have been an Eagles member.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that makes sense. Let's see.
All right, Dan, what kind of sexy ghost you got for us?
Oh, I don't have sexy ghosts, but I have one where this urban legend is, I don't know how much you can say it's an urban legend because it's like it spawned an actual cult, apparently, that sprung up around this specific story. So this one apparently has its beginnings in, let's see, 1925, where the Commonwealth Times out of Richmond, Virginia, this echo is so bad. I can't.
It is so bad.
I was just writing in the group.
I was like, is it just me?
I really
can't. It was the tail end of me.
No.
And it was so hard to even talk.
Yeah.
No, because I was like,
literally texting in the group, being like, I want to kill myself.
I'm trying to make it through, but I cannot. Like, this echo is so bad.
And then you realize that you're slowing your speech down to try to get it to stop echoing. So bad. It's
really bad.
Well, I can't change anything when we're recording.
What?
Oh, no.
It's such a bad echo. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it wasn't bad at first, and then it just got worse.
Like, this can't be changed while recording.
Oh, man.
Is it something in your settings?
Well, there's
Is it from Zelle? Because I could just mute Zelle. Can I mute Zelle?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then can you hear what Zelle's saying?
No.
No. But then I can... I just unmuted, but God. That's back. No, it's still
it's
there.
Still,
yeah.
Still echoing. It's still there.
Still there. I see. I can actually see the echo. I don't actually know where it's coming from.
Well, the ghost of the Eagles.
It's the Eagle's ghost.
Oh, there.
I don't know.
No, it's not.
My God.
Still there.
What is that? Oof.
Check.
No, still there.
Check. Oh, that's not bad.
Oh.
Is that better?
Still there a bit. Like, still there a bit. Not as bad. If you talk really fast.
Talk really fast. Well, I don't wanna stop the recording because it's gonna be all fucked up.
Super awkward.
Exactly. Let's just see. If it was fine for the first while though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's good now.
Yeah, it just switched. I don't understand.
Yeah, that was so weird.
It like got progressively worse. Now I still hear it, but like,
yeah, oh yeah, it's getting worse.
It's back. Now. It's back again.
Yeah. It's back again. It's back.
It's back.
Back again.
The echo's back. Tell your friends. Echo's back.
Because I can only like. Echo's back. I can fix it. Though. Actually, no, we're not going to hear it on the live stream.
No, I just checked the live stream. They don't hear the echo. It's just echo is in house, baby.
How come I
it's so bad?
Oh, if I stop this, it's gonna fuck me up so bad.
Can I just like?
Well, I can stop. There's no way the episode goes live tomorrow if I stop this. I have to stitch them all back together.
Okay.
Is there something else? Oh, it's going. It's all right now. Because, I mean, you always echo when we first come on, Zell. And then you're usually like.
Well, I just
do something.
Just the setting that I have.
Check.
Check.
And still comes through.
What can I do? What can I do?
Like, I was just like turned my headphones off and just talk. Wait. Oh, there. I can't. Oh. I can't hear it now.
Oh.
It's gone.
Oh, hey. It's gone. What happened? Gone. What did you do?
I don't know.
It's gone.
Oh, it's perfect.
Oh my
it's
god.
Gone. Yeah, it's gone now.
Magical.
There it goes. Oh my god.
It's a spooktober miracle. All right, restart.
So yeah, my urban legend is the legend of the Richmond Vampire. So apparently this story got its start during 1925 after the collapse of the Churchill train tunnel that they were building there. So at least four people that they know of like were killed in this tunnel collapse. And this, when it collapsed, like as a result of like them working in there, like there was a steam engine inside. And then two of those people that were killed, like were inside the steam engine at the time. This is what they know of. So this one actually, like they printed it in the Commonwealth Times. And they said that there was at least like one group of men who managed to escape. And then the worst part of the cave-in, and like we're actually like inside the tunnel, but as they were making their way out, they said that as they kind of came out of like the dust and the rock, like the falling rocks and things like that, they said they saw like crouched down, like near the entrance of the tunnel, there was like a, what they described as like this bloodied creature. And when you get descriptions of it, it's always talking about how this thing, like the, like when they looked at it, it looked like it had like these jagged teeth and there was like skin just like hanging off of it and like just like strips of blood. And it was just like, seemed like it was like eating another corpse. Like it was eating the body of like one of the other miners that had died in the cave-in. So when they saw the creature and like the creature saw them, they said that they kind of just like they, you know, I guess these guys are pretty badass because they chased it out. Like they just, like, I don't know if they just like ran out as they were going out, like this thing saw them and then took off. But they said that like they chased it out towards the nearby river.
That's not happening if we're there.
No, going chasing back something in the out? Cave.
Chasing some sort of vampire out of a cave. No.
Now, after you just got out of a cave-in, you're what? Just like, okay, I'm
what you gotta do.
Yeah. Zell would be like, cousin, brother.
So they chased it towards what is now known, like what is, if you look over there, it's like, well, it has been known. It's called, they have a place called Hollywood Cemetery, Richmond's Hollywood Cemetery. It's not, you know, there's no movie stars buried there that I know of, but it's been around since
Richmond's most famous.
Richmond's most famous, yes. But it's been around since 1849. And so that cemetery is about like it's about on 130 acres, like right on the James River that's near that area, that thing. So after they chased this creature, they said that the last person to see it saw that the creature like disappeared into the mausoleum of one W.W. Poole in that Hollywood cemetery. And so William Wortham Poole, apparently was a Mississippi born bookkeeper who had died in 1922 at the age of 80. And it's just funny. It's like, this guy is a real person. Like he is a real person. And it's almost like he got caught up in this whole thing because it's like, when you go back and look at his stuff, like there are records of this guy, like where he came from, where he was born, all this stuff. And it's just like, now he is part of this legend that it's like this vampire disappeared into where he was buried. And now he became part of the legend because people were saying that, you know, it was either the ghost of William Wortham Poole or he was the Richmond Vampire vampire.
Did he become part of the legend after death?
Yeah. Like there was nothing that's remarkable about him.
Other than the fact that he's a fucking vampire.
Yeah. I mean, he lived.
He must have done some fucked up shit to become a vampire.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And so
I think also, is it a rule, like when you're involved in spooky stories, do you got to go double initial?
Yeah.
I feel like that's a must, right?
Yeah. I feel like that fits in.
Okay.
Like RL.
So
exactly.
Yeah.
My brain. Yeah. 100%.
So after the collapse, like apparently it was so bad that they just like, they found like a couple bodies. They recovered like maybe like two or three bodies from the thing, but they know that at least four people died. And then they just bricked up the tunnel. Like they were just like, it was so bad. They just like, nope. They just covered it over. They're like, we're done.
They're like, this is now a grave site.
hear me out now. Wee Willie Pool, WW Pool here. What if he's one of those like friendly type vampires? Because he was feasting on already dead body. Right?
Oh, like he's living, you know, by protocols, like nothing live.
Exactly. Nothing like live. Maybe he's one of those like good natured vampires. Like, I didn't want, you know, like I'm not killing anybody, but I'm
he's like, you don't understand. It's a thirst. I can't stop.
He's already dead. Please. Right? Because technically, I'm like, that's pretty solid.
There was that's some good guy vampire shit.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like, did the vampire come across?
Zell could learn a thing or two. Yeah.
Was this like an opportunistic creature, or was it something that was already there and then the cave-in just released it? Like it was imprisoned in there and then it got out. And then it's like, you know, it has to feast.
Kind of like a Rita Repulsa situation.
Mm-hmm.
Cracked top of that years. Fucking thing. And yeah. And maybe it went after the dead bodies because it's weak. Because you saw it was like little.
Well, it's just feeble, like first thing, right? Yeah.
And that's the first thing he gets to feast on. And now we've created a monster.
It's all dangly flesh.
Yeah.
What's the looking like the Jeepers Creepers monster? What's that thing called?
The creeper.
The creeper, is that what it is?
Oh. I don't know. That's the creeper. Or something like it's it doesn't really have a mind. It doesn't have a name,
but he doesn't look frail. Like I'm thinking like a Schmeagle type.
Well, that's what they were talking. They said like when they described it was like it had like strips of flesh like hanging off of it, and it was just like it's all covered in blood and stuff. So I'm like imagining that either it came across a body and it started eating it, and it's like that because it's opportunity. It's like it just got out of wherever it was locked away in, and now. You know, what a convenient thing that the townspeople were like, oh, we're going to brick up the tunnel.
Or it's living off of rats and dead bodies and stuff. Like
these cases, you would have had somebody, you know, warning like, don't build the tunnel there. You know, it's like, that's where all the, don't go up there. It's like, that's where some bad dark places up there. Like, you know, it's like that kind of stuff.
Legend state.
Bury things there. Sometimes they have a habit of coming back. Like, but yeah,
there's no rats in the area.
During like a resurgence in the popularity of urban legends in the area during the 1960s, apparently, like Virginia Commonwealth University, which is located in Richmond, like the students there, like kind of brought back this into the spotlight the legend of the Richmond vampire, and that Poole's grave actually became like a little like an area landmark. Like it became like, you know,
buddy, I bet you all the little weirdo goths around Richmond. Mm-hmm. Like, we got to listen to some My Chemical Romance and fucking drink beers there.
Yeah. I mean, there was literally a cult of Poole is what they called it. Like Poolies. People going down there. Yeah.
Poolies?
People going there and hang out. Going and hanging out in his mausoleum stuff, and it became such a problem.
Boys, let's go down to the graveyard, crush a couple Poolies.
It became such a problem that they actually had to remove Poole's body from and then inter him somewhere else.
Oh, like how convenient. Now they got a backstory. His body's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's fucking hanging around the caves.
He was never there.
He's turning all the goth kids into vampires.
They didn't want anyone digging him up because then they're like, they're going to dig up the empty grave.
I mean, if you're a vampire, like you would be unremarkable. Wouldn't that be it's the best camouflage, right? Like that's, you want to be like just a normal person or seen as a normal person.
As soon as he got to feed, he became like, you know what I mean? He was all frail and weird and sticking out, like kind of translucent, zelly kind of looking. And then he fed and now he looks like, you know, like a normal person. He's able to acclimate. Maybe he's a bit of a daywalker.
Cheeks flushed out.
Right?
Yeah.
Speaking of that, fucking Whistler died today. Rest in peace.
Oh, yeah.
That's
right.
Who?
Chris Christopherson.
Whistler from Blade.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
Oh, this is timely then.
may he skate downhill for all eternity.
He skate downhill.
But yeah, it's like that's the Richmond vampire that it's to this day. It is somewhere running around or either bricked up in that in that tunnel or something.
You mean bricked up?
Yeah, what do you mean bricked up?
Fucking tunnel? What are you talking about? Right. Looking at all those poolies just fucking
Hey, Dan, you got to get up to date with the new age lingo.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He's just waiting for people to come in that tunnel. Mm-hmm. Fucking bricked up, baby.
Come to me, my poolies.
You want
to
know why he's sucking blood? He needs it all.
Yeah, buddy. All those hot goth babes.
Yeah. Little chokers and everything.
Hey, listen.
I get it.
Yeah.
Should we take a beer break on this one?
Yeah,
because I got to discuss where I'm going with mine, because I got two options and everybody's is,
Let's do a beer break.
Okay.
Discuss.
Okay.
We'll be right back. And the doors were barred from the outside.
People helping people.
1,000 people inside. You
heard people screaming, people helping people.
People helping people die.
People helping people.
Oh man!
All right, you're up, Andrew.
I'm up. Okay. Sorry. Well, we didn't discuss. We just had a
there was no
batting order.
Are you kidding me? We had
a break. So Zell's the closer.
We had a break.
He's always the closer.
He's always the closer of Urban Legends.
Did you change it up a bit?
I can go right now.
No, I'm ready. Fuck you.
All right.
Okay. Give me the ball.
He's bricked up.
I'm bricked up. Ready to go.
Still's bricked up. Ready to go.
I got a little story for you guys. A little change of pace here, which we were discussing.
Yeah.
Right?
A haunt.
Well, that part we discussed. We didn't discuss how I was going next. We just discussed.
You, before the break, Zell, I want you to clip it and repeat it right here where Andrew goes, before I go. Can we have a quick beer break so I can discuss what I want to talk
about? Well, I just wanted to make sure. Like, I didn't say before I go next. I just said before I go.
We didn't preamble. In his defense.
Uh-huh. Exactly. So fucking suck a dick.
Might have been implied, but it doesn't matter.
All right. Okay. That's, I might have to talk to my boy over there to scratch you again and put you in the ICU, you pussy. Get you a cup of Earl Grey and shut the fuck up. All right. So here's a little story for you. Mary, who was leaving work a little late tonight, like a little overtime, leaving a couple hours later than she normally does. It's already dark, but either way, she's on her way home, taking her usual route home along a dark, deserted highway, because of course. She stopped at the gas station to grab a cup of coffee, fill up the tank on her way. After a brief stop, she hopped back in her car and resumed to drive home. About a minute later, because it's pitch black out, it's dark. About a minute later, she's driving down the highway. She kind of notices in the background, there's some headlights, right? Not a big deal, but it's dark, headlights far enough away. Can't really make out what type of vehicle's behind her, but, she's on the highway, she's listening to music, but her eyes get kind of drawn to the rear view, so she's watching. Those same headlights follow her. It's about 10 miles later. She's gone through a few cities. Not thinking anything of it, goes back into more of a deserted highway again. And all of a sudden, you notice those headlights started to kind of speed up, started to move around a little bit more erratic than normal. Ooh, and it looked like they were flashing her, right? Oh, it's the middle of summer, so potentially not.
Depends where you are.
Were they guys or girls? What kind of flashing?
Pardon? Like, we're talking boobies?
Well,
so I'm talking about headlights.
Or peepees.
Oh, the lights. Okay.
Other headlights.
Oh,
all
right. So the headlights behind, getting closer and closer, driving erratically behind her, going around, honking. She's like, it's a little bit bizarre, right? Like, is this guy drunk? Is something's going on? This is fucking weird, right? But it keeps going, and it's been going for, damn near fucking 10 minutes now, and she's starting to get a little bit uncomfortable, right? Starting to get a little bit afraid. So she decides to speed up. And like anybody, like, I'm going to lose this fucking asshole, right? Like, I don't really, I don't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
She gets close enough, or the other vehicle gets close enough to look. It looks like kind of like more of like an old beat up farm truck, right? So she's driving a car. She's like, got a good chance to get away. Mary keeps speeding up, getting more and more stressed, searching for anywhere to stop, maybe get some help, right? And unfortunately, this is 1964, so she doesn't have a cell phone. So she's kind of in a difficult spot. All of a sudden, the car behind her lurches forward and bangs into her, rear ends her. Right? So now she's shitting her pants, fucking covered in sweat, basically got the fucking pedal to the metal going. Fearing for her life, she floors it, speeding away from the dangerous truck behind her. After a short while, the echo came back and ruined everything. It's starting to come back. Yeah.
I can hear it creeping in.
It was a ghostly echo.
Yeah, it is.
It's starting to come back.
So fearing for her life, she floored, speeding away from the dangerous truck behind her. After a short while, she left the dark, deserted highway and turned onto a well-lit city road. The truck that followed her, you know, was still on her tail, though, right? Even though she's weaving in and out through city streets and roads. So she's, you know, in a tight spot here. She can't lose this guy. Luckily, she comes wrapped around a corner and sees a gas station with the lights on. So her plan is she's going to drive right up to the gas station, pop out of her car, run, and just get into the gas station, and hopefully somebody's there. She drives her her vehicle as close as she can to the front door, sprints out. The door's locked. She starts slamming on the glass.
Yeah, right. You got the guy on the intercom.
Yeah,
sorry. What do you want,
buddy? What do you want, buddy? Why are you so upset? Huh? What do you want? Calm down, my friend. What can I do for you?
Prepaid pump.
Yeah. So she's smashing on the glass. Nobody's coming. Next thing you know, the truck comes flying into the parking lot behind her, peeling out, hits the brakes, door flies open, and she sees a leg. That's enough for her. Sprints back to her car. Right as she closes the door, she feels something pulling against the door on the door handle. Hits the gas before the door even closes and takes off. So at this point in time, she's flying away. She's frantic. She's freaking out. She didn't really get a good enough chance to like look at the guy though, because she was moving so quick. At this point, she's 5 miles away from the local police station. She's damn near fucking empty. She doesn't have much time left. She's like, okay, I think I can make it to my house, run inside, open the door, lock the door, hopefully get in there and call the police. When she arrived at home, she ran to the front door, fumbling for her keys, unlock the door just in time, slammed the door shut. Runs over, grabs the phone, dials 911, and goes to the curtains and pulls it open. Just sitting there praying that the 911 operator is going to open as soon as he can. Then, truck pulls up on her front lawn. Door flies open, and the man comes flying out of her car. And you can see him, and he's waving his arms out because he's making eye contact with her, and he's waving his arms out, and he's screaming at her, and she can almost make out what he's saying. And he's like, call. She's like, is he saying call? Like, call who? Right? And then out of nowhere, her back door to her car pops open. And a guy in a large black cloak comes out with an axe and buries it in the side of the guy's head. This entire time, that guy has been following her, trying to tell her that there was somebody in her back seat. No, it's an axe.
This is a classic tale of women driving. You know, you got to check your mirrors.
She was, but she didn't know.
You got a shoulder check. You would have seen this guy.
Are you
going to
pull over for somebody fucking erratically?
How'd this other guy see, you know, in the dark, figure and be like, oh, she's in trouble.
Well, because he keeps popping up from behind her.
Yeah.
Right? Well, she's focused 10 on 2, buddy.
Everyone looking forward to every couple seconds, you should be taking glances at your mirrors, all right?
You're not seen in the back seat in your fucking...
This lady's giving women drivers a bad name, all right? You can't... How are you supposed to look for a cyclist?
You can't be stereotyping.
You can't even see a fucking mystery man with an axe in your back seat?
It's in your back seat.
Right?
That's what you learn, though. Fucking, was it number 10 rule of Zombieland? Look in the back seat.
This is a good story of people helping people. This is,
He was trying to help her.
I know this is a real urban legend because this is like the first scene of like the urban legend, the horror movie they put out in like the 90s or early 2000s.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like this. It is a classic urban legend, but yeah, this is the one.
That's why we're doing urban legend. We got to talk about a classic urban legend.
I can't.
This echo makes me want to kill myself.
It's unbelievable.
I want to die.
It's unbelievable.
How did
it come back? It was gone for.
I don't know, but I hate it. Kill it with fire.
And it, for some reason, it like picks up in intensity. Yeah, it's.
I can't believe I kept talking through it. I was going nuts.
Yeah, it's weird because when you talk,
you can't hear the echo.
That's how we know it's you. Oh, yeah.
You bastards.
Yeah, no. Yeah. It's... No, it's still there. Oh, God, for everyone else, it's still
it's
here.
It's ingrained in my brain now because even when the echo's gone, it's still going to be there. That's your urban legend. That's your whole gig. That's what you've been doing the whole time. The, the slow build.
You start to hear an echo and then you die in 3 days.
Yeah.
It drives you insane. Yeah.
Yeah. Started on the Riverside call and then it just went into real life and everything started echoing until you drive insane and murder your family.
You don't hear the echo. You don't hear the echo.
Until you knife your eardrums.
Yeah.
Yeah. Open them all. Mm.
Yeah. Open all the windows. Yeah. Can you close some of the porn you're watching?
It's still there.
It's still there.
It's not bad. All right. Well, you're up anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's... I'm not laughing hard. That's the echo.
Someone in your garage, behind you, on your right shoulder. Turn around. They have an axe.
You scared me.
So, tell me we're recording on Sunday night without telling me you're recording.
What are you talking about? What?
This tale is called The Whispering Shadows and the Haunted Amulet.
Two? Ooh.
It takes place in a small town or maybe a medium-sized city, depending on what part of the world you're from. Some places.
Depends where you live.
Everyone has a town just like this. Nestled between dense woods and a picturesque lake. Known for an abandoned house known as the Whitmore Estate. The townsfolk whispered about it. On stormy nights, as the wind howled through the cracks in your door, the Whitmore Estate.
You got to get some. You got to get some draft proof. There's some. You can go to Home Depot and it's a pretty easy fix.
Yeah, you can get some of that.
Hold on. You got to draft the house. Listen, you're losing heat. You're paying. Your bills are high. You go to Home Depot, get a little double seal. You're done. Stop listening to the whispers on the wind. You can shut them right up.
The moral of the story. It's said that anyone who ventures too close to the house could hear the whispers of those who once lived. A family that mysteriously disappeared. Local teens always dared each other how close they could get. But very few ever made it past the front door, which was always barred from the outside.
Get the fuck out of here.
The story is fueled by ghostly figures seen wandering around, sometimes headless, armless. But one night, a group of friends, their names have been changed to protect them. We'll call them Sarah, Jake, Emily, and Mark. And they decided to test their courage, armed with nothing but flashlights and way too many beers. They made their way to the estate as thunder rumbled overhead. As they approached, what happened? Can you guess? The air grew cold and a strong scent of decay filled their nostrils. I might throw that in for dramatic effect.
But it's good, though.
It's good.
As they approached the front door, the deck boards groaned. And as they slid the Coho 1996 hockey stick from the front doors and swung the doors inwards, they discovered a faded photograph on the floor in front of them. That photograph was of the Whitmore family. Smiling faces, frozen in time. And as they walked around the photograph, The eyes seemed to follow them. First one, then another, and another. Suddenly, a soft whisper drifted through the halls. Help us! Help us! Seemingly come from every room, every corridor, up the stairs, down the stairs. They had enough. They turned to flee, and the doors flung closed and seemingly barred again. So they did the only thing you can do in this situation. Instead of break a window and escape, you continue down the haunted corridor to reach a narrow staircase which led up to the attic.
Ooh.
And as they went up, the whispers grew louder. Help us! Find us! The four friends, they hesitated. But unlike us, they ventured forward instead of running away. Driven by a mix of fear and intrigue. At the top, they found a dusty old trunk. For some
dude, reason. Dude, imagine having brave friends that were like, we gotta do this. We have to do this.
Just shitty friends.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm getting peer pressure into that. Not a chance in hell. No way.
Especially as you're about to hear what happens to you.
Listen, I'm about to bar the door shut on my way out.
The doors are shut. You cannot get out. The doors are shut. They found a dusty old trunk at the top of the staircase. For some reason, they felt compelled to open it. And as they did, their flashlights seemed to extinguish. They quickly reached for their phones, but the batteries were also drained. And then around them, echoing cries of anguish. You shouldn't have come.
Oh, dude, you were yelling for help.
Gotcha.
Gotcha, bitch.
Their hearts racing. Sarah reached for the trunk. Her fingers brushing against something cold and metallic. It's pitch black, if you didn't realize, but all their lights are out. It was a locket, or some would say perhaps an amulet. It felt warm to the touch. With the initials EW. Must have been in Braille.
Oh yeah, Sarah was blind.
The only reason. She held it up. And the shadows in the room began to swirl and grow, collapsing into dark figures with hollow eyes. Leave! One of the figures screamed, just like that, leave! In a weird sound, really weird voice. A haunting blend of desperation and rage. The friends turned to flee, but the staircase had vanished, replaced by a wall of shadow.
Barred
from the outside. The whispers grew louder, and a symphony of screams echoed through the hall, again saying, help us and find us. But they were right there. I don't know
stuck.
How.
You stuck. You shouldn't have come.
You shouldn't have come, you idiots.
They're really, really mixed messages.
They realized that these spirits were not just seeking help. They were trying to keep them there. And in a final act of courage, Jake recalled a local legend. The legend of the haunted amulet.
Chapter 12.
Of the Whitmore estate. If you break the amulet, the spirit.
Who the fuck is Jake? It's the first we've heard of this guy. I love how
Jake's
you're giving
the old
them names.
Fucking groundskeeper.
Like, yeah, you're like, I'm going to give them names as I see fit.
Did I not say their names at the start?
No. Yeah,
I don't think
was
you said
Jake.
Jake.
Was Jake one of them?
Yeah, Sarah Jake and Mark. And I said that at the start.
Oh, okay.
A bunch of very generic white names.
Yeah, most generic I could come up with. I mean, so says the legend.
Yeah.
So he lunged for the amulet. And slamming it against the floor, he broke it into, let's say, at least 10 pieces, just to be safe. Then the whispers turned to screams, and the figures started to dissipate, and their cries faded. The staircase reopened, and the friends dashed down. But the house shook around them. The floor started to break. The ceiling started to cave, and the echoes of the lost souls chased them to their death. They were never heard from again, and the Whitmore estate still stands, but nothing but rubble.
It still stands, but nothing but rubble?
Still stands as nothing but rubble.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
okay.
It's all fine. It burned down.
It burned.
It just fell. It just fell into a giant.
It fell.
It was rebuilt in 1905.
But it still stands.
But if you walk close to the ruins, you can still hear, "Help us.
Help us."
Because those four faded figures have probably joined the Whitmore Estate apparitions.
Sure there wasn't an eagle's nest? People helping people?
People?
Yeah. People helping people.
Helping people?
Yeah. Help us help you.
Those four friends.
Help us help you. Yeah. People helping.
Hey, listen, if you want to become an Eagles member, it's only $10 for the first year, $25 after that.
Yeah. Right. And Sarah, Jake, Emily, and Mark were never heard from again.
But I thought he should win. He smashed the amulet. He
couldn't get out in time. He was trapped.
I picture that it's like when you win Jumanji, everything starts swirling around and gets sucked back into the amulet.
Yeah.
You know? And then the house becomes rubble.
There's only one way to find out, and that is to go there.
It's very poltergeist.
Well, you know what the problem is? He didn't yell Jumanji.
He didn't yell it.
Yeah.
Right? That's what you're supposed to say. You're supposed to say the name of the game.
Right.
That's true.
So like the one rule.
Monopoly.
Yeah, everyone knows when you get a Yahtzee. Yahtzee.
Yeah.
You win Monopoly. Monopoly. Same thing. Connect Four.
Whitmore.
I have settled Catan. Always got to yell. Only makes sense. Urban Legends are fun.
People.
They're stupid.
I got a whole booklet of them.
Well, and it's like there's so many, like every community has like their own little fucking twist on one. Well, and
they all got little roots of truth, I think, too. Like the fucking High Beam story that I said, there's an actual fucking story that happened right before that one came out.
Yeah, it actually happened to a friend of a friend of mine.
Yeah.
It's true. True tale.
True, sir. Yeah.
It happens all over the
place. I was actually friends with Otto the other day, and I did see a hook hand.
They could have bought it.
Yeah. On somebody's car.
It was just a hook, but I think it could have been easily converted to be held.
Right.
Like the
yeah.
With
yeah.
like a cover over your fist hidden in a trench coat. You got ghosts?
No, some I kind of peeked the window.
Your cat coming?
Peek out. No.
Scary.
That cat's on fucking lockdown, man. He's on.
You still have it?
Solitary confinement. Yeah.
I thought you got rid of it.
We're trying.
How are you going to get rid of a cat? Nobody wants to.
We're trying some calming meds. See if that works.
Give some fucking Prozac or something.
Well, you know what it is. You know what it is. Honestly, there's a fucking big old mean cat that comes to the windows and shit and just fucking jacks my cat up.
You sure your cat's just not like Stewie and wants to kill you?
No, my cat loves
you. Lois.
For
sounds like time. It. Yeah, evident that your cat loves you.
Yeah, have you guys never had to pull your cat off you while you're
never
once blood from everywhere?
I got two fucking like three or four cats bites. Who I'm not great to, and I've never been attacked by. But maybe that's why I've asserted dominance.
Well, and honestly, it's scary. It was scary. I was like, oh, I'm in trouble instantly. I was like, this thing is
gotta get rid of that fucking
crazy. What a 12-pound predator can do to you.
Well, my cat's like 18 because it's fat as fuck, dude.
That's 12 pounds if it's in shape.
12-pound murder machine.
That's fucking gut.
Oh, yeah. It's fucking can kill you with its face and hands.
Yeah.
You should have bit it back.
That's all they live for is to kill.
Yeah. I mean, if you had...
I couldn't even...
You need like a real dog. Maybe that would help keep that thing in check.
Yeah, another right? wiener dog, whatever you got.
Yeah, like you...
yeah.
You basically have two cats.
I got three cats.
You got three cats?
I have a black cat, orange cat, and a wiener dog cat.
What? I didn't know you had another cat.
Yeah. Mm. You guys, you should come visit once in a while. You'd know.
You should maybe not live so far away.
Jasper's dope. Jasper makes just weird noise. He's just autistic.
Maybe it's Jasper's fault that Luna is a psycho.
No. Jasper's a sweet. He's a sweet.
Maybe Jasper's one inciting violence.
He would never. He would never.
You think
Jasper,
that,
you touch him and he goes.
Maybe Jasper is your Kaiser Sose.
No.
Right? Makes you pretend he's autistic and can't figure that shit out. No, he's one pulling strings.
No, he is. That's it. It's pretty obvious when you handle him. You're like.
That's what he wants you to think.
He's not all there.
Anyways, that's the start of Spooktober. A couple of spooky stories for you.
Did you make our stories echo off. So yours could sound that much better?
Yep.
Was that the plan?
Well, it doesn't echo in the live stream.
So. No, I know, but it was hard to get through those stories.
It was hard to talk.
Then Zell's comes out all like professional fucking.
Now it's not echoing?
The screams of agony
echo
through
now.
The hallways of Whitmore Manor. It was good.
Still trying to climb in the rankings. Sabotage.
Oh my god.
All right. Well, that was fun. Another year, another urban legend.
To kick off Spooktober.
Start to Spooktober.
Yeah. 3 more spooky episodes if you're not a Spooktober fan. Just hey, fuck, stay with us.
Just listen. Become one.